What did we learn from the politicians that were on Mackinac Island over the weekend?
Well, the story that sort of grabbed my attention, and I was not there, was the governor admitting what I think many of us in town have sort of figured all along, that he might be one and done, that he would only do one term and not run for a second term. And as you know, every governor in the modern age has always lusted for a second term. That's what politicians do. But this guy's proven that he's not a career politician. His line to Kyle Mears was, or to Kyle Malinette Mears was, I could go fishing, I could go teach, or do something else. That's if, and there's a big if he checks off enough stuff on his long-term agenda for reinventing Michigan. But this is Governor Snyder being Governor Snyder. He's not about being a politician. And if he gets the job done in one term, he's out of here.
And, you know, that was my thought when he said that. I wondered if he was going to get everything done on his agenda. It doesn't look like it so far, even though we're only a year in.
Come on, he's got a long ways to go. He's got 4 years, Tony. Mm-hmm. And 3 years. Okay, no, I have a feeling that it will be one and done.
I thought that it was also very interesting how all the players who want to be president were here in the state. From your perspective, is this an important swing state at the next presidential election?
Well, actually, if I could, not all of the players were here. Just the two of the major ones. It was Perry and Romney, mm-hmm. and all the rest found something else to do. In fact, they were very smart. They went to Florida. You know, Mackinac Island this time of year is kind of dicey, okay? But you had the two big shooters there, and of course Romney won the straw poll, which shocked no one since he is a native son. But Perry parachuted in, was there 90 minutes, and he got out.
I wrote myself a note, and I haven't read anything or heard anything. Anything new with the meetings to rewrite the liquor laws here in the state?
Yeah, we tried to cover that meeting last week, and we couldn't get in. We did talk to the guy who's conducting.
They didn't let you in, Tim?
No, they didn't let the Teamsters were there, and the Teamsters couldn't get in. I thought maybe they could run interference for me, but that didn't happen. Listen, you weren't asking me about the Bob Byram story, did you?
Well, that was next time. I got a whole list of stuff here for you.
Okay, all right, but go ahead, ask me.
All right, Barb Byram saw the news late Friday. It was released that a plot was uncovered, that someone was trying to kill her. Tell me the story.
Well, I got a tip on Friday afternoon around 4:15, which is just a god-awful time to get news tips, right, on Friday?
Mm-hmm.
but it turned out to be true, or the allegation is, that we had an inmate behind bars in a state prison somewhere, undisclosed, who had a buddy that was getting out and said to his buddy, I want you to hire me a hitman. Because I'd like to have this hitman kidnap a state lawmaker. And the second buddy who was getting out of the slammer, instead of going to hire a hitman, went to the authorities instead. The state police, with an undercover officer, got on the horn and called the inmate in question and recorded, allegedly, all of the plot over the phone. The inmate was allegedly offering $500,000, and the name involved was Representative Barb Byram. Now, when we originally reported the story, I left her name out on purpose after talking to the authorities from a standpoint of protecting her and her young family and her husband. But somebody put the name out, and then she issued a statement that said she thanked the state police for uncovering the plot and would have nothing more to say.
When I read the story, I felt a little bit more at ease from the fact that, and I'm sure she was more at ease too, I believe her husband is a police officer, isn't he?
He's a deputy sheriff.
Yeah. Let's talk about the governor's trip to China.
Let me just add one thing,
please.
The story was important because people have asked me, why Barb Byram?
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that the suspect in question only knew the name of one lawmaker. This suspect apparently is from Mason, and Barb Byram is the only name he could come up with. So talk about being unlucky. But there was nothing nefarious that was going on between the two. She hadn't done something to him or vice versa. And so that was the only name that this alleged suspect in this plot, murder-for-hire plot, could come up with. That was her name.
How bizarre is that, of all the people to pick?
Yeah, isn't that something?
All right, your thoughts on the governor visiting China?
Well, there you go.
You know, I was talking with Tom Watkins earlier, Tim, and I kind of went back and looked at some of the news clips of when Governor Granholm went there, and it was always seemed to be a negative vibe. It was a waste of money. She didn't seem to garner the jobs that was thought, but there's not that kind of pressure here on this visit. It's just to get the test the waters and get the process started.
Well, Governor Granholm's mantra was, I will go anywhere, anytime, as long as I can bring a job back. She never went to China because Michigan never had a presence there and couldn't bring any jobs back. And by the way, we're going to interview her and her hubby on the show. We're going to tape the thing Wednesday morning. She apparently told Rick Pluta that not going to China had nothing to do with the politics of the thing, and I think that might just be a tad of a stretch. But let's not digress. Look, we talked to the governor last week before he left. This is about building relationships. He has lowered the bar. He's not going to bring back any jobs. But he's been there before as a private business person. But this is his first visit as governor, and he's in Japan right now and will be off to China later on.
Have you read the Granholm Mulhern book?
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
I thought it was a good book. Okay, what you have to do is you have to put yourself in the shoes of a person who has not followed this stuff. And if you do that, there's a lot of interesting stuff in there. But I must be honest with you, I only learned one thing out of the 320 pages, and that was that she considered not running in 2006. And I also thought that she was a little less than forth coming on some of the details in some of the stories. She mentioned them, but she kind of glossed over them. So there was a lot of detail that I was left wanting. But you know what? When you're writing a book, and you can't put everything in there, and one of the reasons you write the book is you get to decide what you put in. So it was an interesting book.
All right, a couple more quick things.
You do have a list.
Yeah, okay. I'm telling you, the partial birth abortion bill, where are we there?
The Senate passed one version with one sponsor. The House passed it with a House sponsor. The leadership will have to decide who's going to get credit for this thing, but there's nothing nefarious here. They'll send it to the governor, and in all likelihood, he'll sign it.
Right to work?
The right to work for teachers has not been introduced. Conservative Republicans in the House will push this thing not just for teachers, but for everybody. The governor got a cool reception on Mackinac Island when this was brought up, and I think it was probably the first time that we could feel the palpable feeling among conservative Republicans wondering, is Rick Snyder really one of us? And to some degree, he's not on this issue. He has said it is a divisive issue. We'll pit labor against business. But apparently some Senate Republicans don't give or House Republicans don't give a hoot about that. Yes. They say this should be debated, and we ought to debate it, and they will.
I saw that the Fed is going to allow states to opt out of No Child Left Behind as long as they can keep the process going, perhaps under another headline. Any thoughts on that?
Well, you know what? Probably the worst thing that ever happened to education is that it showed up in the polls as a number one or two issue for voters, because now the politicians are involved up to their eyeballs, because if they can just fix education, they can get reelected. Well, you know what? They've been trying to fix education for 40 years in this state, and they're not there yet, and maybe it's not fixable. There's a lot of stuff going on. Everybody thinks they have a silver bullet. But at the end of the day, I think the most important thing about a kid's education may be not in the classroom, but in the home. You know, if you're reading to you read to your kids when they were growing up?
Constance, still do.
Yep, there you go, baby. Okay, we did with Carly. Not that that's a silver bullet, but when they get to school, they've already got some of the tools that they need. And unfortunately, a lot of kids from homes where there is a single parent or a parent that doesn't have the education, it just doesn't work out. And you can't legislate that. Although, we did have a guy on the show this week, Representative Al Pashaka, who was looking at, and you're getting a little exclusive here, going into the welfare system and denying welfare benefits to parents who somehow don't participate in their kids' education. That will be very controversial, but there actually may be some people that will salute on that, so watch for that to come down the road, too.
All right, and last one for you, live-in partner Benny's.
Republicans, this is like a dog getting a bone. They're not going to give up on this thing. They can't go after the universities because it takes a two-thirds vote in the House and Senate to end those, but they can go after civil servants, and that's what they want to do. They don't like this stuff at all.
All right. Off the record, you'll have the governor and a former first gentleman for a review, I'd imagine.
We're going to do 15 or 16 minutes with them as the interview portion, and it'll be good to see them again. And I have some questions that perhaps they have not been asked.
Yeah, I bet you do. What are you covering for Channel 6 tonight?
We're going to do a story that if you own an electric car, the governor and lawmakers may be coming after you because you're not paying the gasoline tax, and under the rubric of fairness, that ain't fair. So some lawmakers are looking at taxing electric cars.
All right, Tim, thanks so much.
Thanks, babe. You're